Diamond Joe was a rich old Jay, had lots of cowboys in his pay, rode the range with his cowboy band, many a maverick got his brand. Well, I hired on, offered Joe my hand, got a string of horses so old they couldn't stand, like to die from hunger, he mistreated a soul, never earned a dollar off a Diamond Joe. Roll on, boys, roll, don't you roll so slow. Roll on, boys, roll, don't you roll so slow. Ki-yippee-yi, yippee-ki-yi-ho. Roll on, boys, roll, don't you roll so slow. Roll on, boys, roll, don't you roll so slow. Ki-yippee-yi, yippee-ki-yi-ho. Just a cowboy, ain't got no home, got no folks, so I'm bound to roam. I work for the elves or the old bar old, won't burn no brand for Diamond Joe. Well, if I was rich like Diamond Joe, I'd work today, I'd work no more. He works me hard and pays me slow. Don't give a damn if I work or no. Roll on, boys, roll, don't you roll so slow. Roll on, boys, roll, don't you roll so slow. Ki-yippee-yi, yippee-ki-yi-ho. Yippee-ki-yi-ay, yippee-ki-yi-ho.
Well, direct from Music City, this is the Campfire Cafe. I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is our co-host, Miss Bobby Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. So we had a gorgeous blue moon, super moon last night. What did you have there in Nashville?
You know, it was gorgeous out here last night. Beautiful, clear skies. And a great view of the moon, and I viewed that with my sweetheart last night, so it just can't get any better. I think you said the next time that we'd have a moon like that would be like 2037.
Yeah, so, it's down the road a piece, yes.
It's down the road a piece, down the road a piece. But we have a beautiful, beautiful weather here in Tennessee today. It was 59 when I got up this morning and took the dogs out for their walk. And I think you've got great weather in Albuquerque.
Yes, we have a beautiful day. Yes, we do. We are going to get up into the 90s. We still continue to be very warm here in the afternoon, but it's lovely, lovely blue skies out there today.
Fall is on its way, so we have something to look forward to. And then winter, and then we'll be looking forward to spring, so. That is the cycle of life, my friend. That is the cycle of life.
Yes, it is.
We have a great, great show today. So we have a young man that's joining us for his very first time. Who is that?
I am so delighted that we are welcoming Joel White to the show this morning. I can hardly wait to share Joel and his music with our worldwide audience. So don't go away.
All right. We're looking forward to this. And with that, Amarillo Cowboy. And in the second half of the show for Saddle Up America, it is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, the month of September. And so we're going to be talking with Nashville's Angel Heart Farm. And Tracy will be joining us to talk about what they do there and some special events that they have coming up. So stay tuned. It's going to be a lot of fun today on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network for both the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song from Joel White. It's one called Janie's Going Out Tonight. We'll be right back.
Come on, boys, it's Friday night. Come on, boys, I'm feeling right. Come on, boys, turn out the lights, 'cause Janie's going out tonight. Boy, she loved ain't coming home. Found another, now she's alone. Broke her heart, but she won't cry. She'll find a lover, it's do or die. Come on, boys, it's Friday night. Come on, boys, I'm feeling right. Come on, boys, turn out the lights, 'cause Janie's going out tonight. Set out of black shoes, heels so high. Washed her red dress, hung out to dry. Fixed her yellow hair, ribbons and bows. Painted her face, put on a show. Come on, boys, it's Friday night. Come on, boys, I'm feeling right. Come on, boys, turn out the light, 'cause Janie's going out tonight. She'll cut a rug with me and you. Dance all night if she takes off her shoes. Feeling so free, she feels so light. Janie's getting right tonight. Come on, boys, it's Friday night. Come on, boys, I'm feeling right. Come on, boys, turn out the lights, 'cause Janie's going out tonight.
It's late, I hold her tight. Stars shine down on us tonight. Is it love? Is it fate? Janie, I just can't wait. Come on, boys, it's Friday night. Come on, boys, I'm feeling right. Come on, boys, turn out the lights, 'cause Janie's going out tonight.
Come on, boys, it's Friday night. Come on, boys, I'm feeling right. Come on, boys, turn out the lights, 'cause Janie's going out tonight.
I'm taking Janie home tonight.
Welcome back to the award-winning Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. We just heard Janie's Going Out Tonight, written and performed by Joel White from his 2022 album, Where I'm From. Based in Amarillo, Texas, today's featured guest, Joel White, is an Americana, roots, country, and Stern singer-songwriter. His earliest memories are of music across all genres, from Beethoven to Herb Alpert to the Beatles, Bob Dylan, and Neil Young. Then he heard Guy Clark, and his music took a new direction. Joel says, I have been surrounded by music my whole life and by friends who play and write songs. I have no choice but to write. Although Joel has changed careers frequently, there are two constants in his life, the love and support of his wife, Kelly, and his music. His story songs speak of life he's lived, of the people and places he's loved, of dreams fulfilled and dreams yet to be. Joining us for a first time, please welcome to Campfire Cafe a singer-songwriter who says this about his songs. They are my truth and are all drawn from who I am and what I know. Please welcome Joel White.
Well, thank you very much, Bobby. That's a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
Good morning, Joel.
I've been wanting to do it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I told you to get ready for that introduction.
I'm excited to be on with you guys. I sure am.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to have you with us. So tell us a little bit about you. That first song that I played had a little bit of an Irish feel to it.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your background. Amarillo's home.
Actually, I am Scotch, Irish, and German, I guess you could say.
All right.
The song does have an Irish feel to it because actually we sent that over to Ireland, and a friend of mine, Tom Ferney, gave it to a couple of, I think they're brothers, Gary West and Charlie West, and they played the fiddle and the whistle on that. And so it sounds Irish, or actually that we sent it to Scotland, and it sounds just like it is. But
well, it's a great song. Great song.
Thank
great
you.
Song. So you grew up in Amarillo?
I was born and raised right here in Amarillo. Spent most of my life, other than a year here and a year there, in Amarillo.
All right. All right. So how did you get started into music?
Well, actually, my grandfather was a trumpet player for Lawrence Welk. And
oh, really?
He could play any instrument. Yeah, he could play any instrument that he picked up, especially any brass instrument. My father probably has the greatest baritone voice I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, wow.
And he was a gospel singer, just a lay gospel singer, but he has a great voice. And I just grew up with music. I was forced as a young man, as a child, starting about eight, to take piano lessons. And I think my parents realized that probably was a mistake, because if they would have given me the choice, I would have chosen to play music. But since it was forced upon me, I was a rebellious child, and my rebellion came out.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well, wow. You know, when Bobby Jean mentioned some of your influences in that wonderful introduction that she did, she mentioned Herb Alpert. And guess who was on the Grand Ole Opry last week, Bobby and Joel? Herb Alpert.
No.
Herb Alpert. Yeah, Herb Alpert on the Grand Ole Opry. Yeah, it was kind of a cool deal.
My dad had an album of Herb Alpert, and I must have been six, seven, 8 years old, and he would play that. And Dad loves music, and we were raised to love music, and we heard a lot of different music.
Well, it's kind of interesting, because I remember playing Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass in my younger days on the radio years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he was just as great as ever playing with the Grand Ole Opry Band, and it was just a cool deal. Well, we're going to get to
he must be nearly 90.
He is. He's.
Probably.
I'm sure he's in his 80s anyway.
Yeah, probably.
At least in his 80s. But he did a great job, and everybody thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed having him there. You know, they've had everybody from the Beach Boys to Herb Alpert to presidents that have been to the Grand Ole Opry and made their appearance. So a lot of fun. Well, I'm going to get to another song right now. This is the title cut from the album Where I'm From. Tell us a little bit about this.
I don't know what to tell you about where I'm from. it's an interesting song, because my wife and I had been invited to be in a wedding. My cousin was getting married, and we went to Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And when we got to New Jersey, all these folks, I was wearing a hat and boots, and of course, and the thing about it, the people just were in love with the West, with Texas. But the only thing they knew about Texas was the television program Dallas. This was in the 80s when Dallas was a huge program.
Gotcha.
So this was just a tongue-in-cheek. This was just a tongue-in-cheek song about where I'm from.
All right, well, let's take a listen.
Those folks.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a listen to Where I'm From. We'll be back and talk more with Joel White in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
just an old country boy. Never been to exotic places like Illinois. Found myself on a plane headed out of state. Now I don't know and I can't say why, I just never really liked to fly. But flying to New Jersey was my fate. When we got off the plane that day, some Jersey boys came up to say wanted to hear about Texas all of their lives. Now they wanted to hear about our land, and they wanted to hear about our women, but they didn't want to talk to their wives. Does it hurt your fist when you punch a cow? Is 100 miles an hour really loud barbecue? Is it all you ever fed? Are all the breasts in Dallas fake? Can you finish a 72-ounce steak? The boy sat back and hear what I said. You ought to see our stars at night. The Texas sky, it's a beautiful sight. Not to mention our sunsets in the west. And no doubt we've got the most beautiful women in our Shinerbach beer. Boys, that's living. No debate, Texas life, it's the best. Our music just gives me chills. From Guy Clark to old Bob Wills, and nothing's finer than our enchiladas and our steaks. Now freedom's what you want to feel. Well, just take to the highway in your automobile, and let me tell you nothing about Dallas, women's faith. But does it hurt your fist when you punch a cow? Is 100 miles an hour really loud and barbecue? Is it all you ever fed? Are all the breasts in Dallas fake? Can you finish a 72-ounce steak? The boy sat back to hear what I said. Owning an oil well, that's just good luck. All the cowboys wear boots and spurs, and we just love our Friday night lights. And you take a man's hat, that's cause for fighting tumbleweeds. They're just big grass burrs. There's a bar in every little town. Folks in happy, they don't wear a frown. We don't miss church, less to hunt or to fish. And we're real proud of our Texas drawn. I'm pretty sure God don't talk like y'all. Yes, living in Texas, that's the country's wish. So no, it don't hurt your fist when you punch a cow. Yes, 100 miles an hour, well, it's really a loud barbecue. Well, it's all we're ever fed until the age of three. And most of the breasts in Dallas are fake. And I can finish a 72-ounce steak. The boy sat back, cause that's what I said.
Where I'm From, the title track of Joel. That's right, I forgot that little extra at the end. As the title track, Joel White, Where I'm from an album released to great acclaim in 2022. And Joel, there's just so many different things I'd love to talk to you about. First off, of course, we had the opportunity to meet for the first time last year in September, I think it was, at the Southwest Regional Folk Alliance. SWRFA is what we call that group. And Jim and I went for a first time, and we mostly met people that we did not know. Jim Jones, Alan Chapman, there were a few that we did. But what a pleasure to meet you and get to hear you perform. And then you came out to Albuquerque just a month or two later, and we got to spend a little more time with you. Your music is already, with these two songs that Gary has chosen, you can hear such a variety, and also some with a sense of fun and playfulness, and others really you write and sing about the harder parts of life like any great songwriter does. Partly what I love about this album and your brand new one, which we will be playing from as well, is the wonderful work that Marl Briganti did and the musicians that back you up. Do you want to talk a little bit, because we met him for a first time as well, talk a little bit about working with him and the recording process?
Well, Merle was my first introduction to the studio. And let me tell you what, that's a shock in and of itself. Merle is quite a character, but he has this great ear. And he's a musician that has played for some outstanding bands in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s. He was a drummer for Loggins and Messina. He played for the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band in the early years, and all the way up. And he's worn every hat in the music industry you could wear. But I tell you what, his gift is production, and he has these great musicians in his stable, so to speak, that are just world class musicians. And he'll send them a song, and he won't give them very much direction. He'll just say, I want some low tones or you know, something in there. But he won't tell the musicians what to do, because these musicians, they serve the song. They listen to the song. They listen to the lyric. They read the lyric. And then they play from their heart and from their belly what seems appropriate. And it's always just it's exciting, because I never know what we're going to hear until Merle gets it together and he says, okay, here we go. What do you like and what do you not like? And he's a great producer.
Well, the next song that Gary is going to play is another one from where I'm from, and it's Bone of My Bone. And I think Sarah Pierce is on this one with you, yes?
Yes, she is. That's Merle's wife and a wonderful artist in her own right.
Absolutely. Is there anything you'd like to say about this song?
You know,
what inspired it or what it came from?
A buddy of mine, I hadn't been writing songs very long, and a friend of mine that plays bass for me, he says, you know, you need to write something in 3/4 time. So I thought about it, and then I thought, you know, I need to write a duet. And my wife and I were big fans of Outlander. And there was the phrase in there, blood of my blood and bone of my bone. And I thought, boy, you got to use that. And that's where it came from.
Fabulous.
All right. Bone of My Bone. It's Joel White and Sarah Pierce. We'll be right back.
Save one. He'd yet not been discovered. She knew one day he would come.
Billy was a gambler. He laid it all on the line. A rake and a rambler, lived on the edge most of the time. Someone was missing, knew not who she could be.
heart meant for your soul. A lifelong love should be the goal. Don't give up until you find home. Blood of my blood, bone of my bone.
Special guest today on the Campfire Cafe. So, Joel, when did you first start writing?
You know, I first started writing about 6 years ago.
Okay.
And I had played, you know, in high school, I had played in some bands, and then there's a good part of my life I didn't even own a guitar. And I picked the guitar back up, and I didn't feel like I sang other people's songs very well, so I thought, well, maybe I'll write some for myself. Maybe I'll sing those a little bit better. That's how
there
I started.
Ah, wow. So what's your process when you get ready to write? You know, we have some people that write every day, and we have some people that are a little bit more sporadic about their writing, but what's your process for writing?
Well, you know, I'm really envious of those guys that have the self-discipline to sit down and make themselves write every day. Those guys
yeah.
are real writers. For myself, I've got to be motivated. I have to have a lyric, a phrase. Maybe it's a musical phrase, or just something that motivates me to write, and I'll sit down and I will write. Generally speaking, I write the poetry first. I'm a student of other writers, and Guy Clark always said that that if it didn't read as a poem, it wouldn't make a very good song. And so I have a tendency to write the poetry first, and then I write the music that supports the lyric. Generally the way I write it.
Okay. All right. You know, it's interesting because, Bobby, you know, when we talk to different people, sometimes it's the lyric, sometimes it's the music that comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very interesting. Everybody's different. But then when you mix it up and shake it out, it all comes out good.
Yeah, you know, and Gary, it's not the same every time. You know, but generally speaking, that's how I write.
Okay, all right. So I was, as while we were talking, I was just thinking about another friend of ours that's here in Nashville, and so he has, you know, he just listens to things, and the song comes, you know, the hook comes, and so one of the fun songs that he wrote is one that's, I like whiskey, but whiskey don't love me, and so
that's
a great. Oh, gosh. Well, this is a great song. This is the title song from the new album, Once I Was a Cowboy. And, Joel, you want to tell us anything at all about this song?
Well, I tell you what, I actually was, I managed a ranch back in the mid-80s, west of Channing, and it was a small ranch for the country. It was just 22,000 acres. That's all. But for that for that part, it was one of the smaller ranches in that part of the country. Anyway, I managed that ranch, and you know, that this song is written from that. It's 100% biographical, correct. It's
all
exactly
right. Well, let's...
what I wanted to be.
All right, let's take a listen to Once I Was a Cowboy. We're talking with Joel White today on the Campfire Cafe.
Sections, New Mexico line, that slice of heaven brings back to mind. Life lived a simpler way, doing whatever was God's plan that day. Up in the morning at 5 o'clock bell, that's bacon, eggs, and coffee I smell. Saddle my pony, feed him some grain, thank the Lord there, felt like rain. Once I was a cowboy, living the life of my dream. Fresh air, blue skies, open spaces. When I was young, dreamed of a life, working the ranch, my kids and my wife. Riding, roping, branding all day, good work to have if you don't mind the pay. Starting the colts when they hit three, calving out head. Taking the herd, breaking ice, winters are tough, summers are nice. Once I was a cowboy, living the life of my dream. Fresh air, blue skies, open spaces. Thank you.
can't live in the past. Sometimes I wish I'd stayed on that path. But I woke from my dream and took a new trail. It's all on me, the dream never fails. If I could go back for just one day, meet that young cowboy, what would I say? Stay in the saddle, don't take that new road, you won't regret it again. You grow old. Once I was a cowboy, living my dream, fresh air, blue skies, open spaces, earlier now than it seems. Fresh air, blue skies, open spaces, earlier now than it seems.
We just heard the title track to Joel White's brand new album, Once I Was a Cowboy. Joel, I remember when this album came my way, I still do love CDs. I have CD players, more than one of them, including the car. And immediately, of course, I stopped everything. And sometimes I put an album on and I'll kind of multitask. And I just knew, no, this is Joel White and I need to just listen. And I played it over and over and over again. And I wish there were more songs, frankly. But it's such a wonderful album. You chose six songs, and we're going to be playing a couple more from it. I think the next one that Gary has planned is Rooster. And, of course, when I just look at titles, it's like, Rooster, I wonder if that's what that's going to be about. Will that be kind of a funny one? About a, you know, an actual rooster or somebody named Rooster. Tell us a little bit about that song before Gary plays it.
Well, I had a friend, his name was David Morse, and he is a fantastic fiddle player. And, of course, everybody knows him as Rooster Morse. And I was telling another friend of mine that we all know, Randy Palmer, about Rooster Morse, and he said, "Well, you got to write a song. You got to write a song about Rooster." So I sat down and wrote a song about Rooster. The problem is that the character in the song is really three different cowboys. Rooster is a fiddle player, but he's not the character of Rooster in the song is derived more from his dad, Bob Morse, and another old cowboy named George Nixon. And but Rooster, the character of Rooster is a combination of those three real men, and all of them I respect a great deal.
Well, it's a wonderful song. It's a wonderful song. Gary, why don't you just go ahead and let's hear Rooster.
Let's go ahead and listen to Rooster. We're talking with Joel White today.
Just a young cowboy working on the Great High Plain. Met an old cowpuncher, Rooster was his name. Face was tough as leather, hands thin and stiff. Weren't much to look at, the rooster had a gift. Rooster, he was old school and meaner than hell. Didn't have much family, best that I could tell. Took his work serious, no playing around. But Rooster get his fiddle out when the sun went down. Rooster played fiddle, could play it all night long. Just a shot of whiskey, he'd play your favorite song. Yellow Rose of Texas, turkey in the straw.
When it came to fiddle tunes, Rooster knew them all. I remember fondly the year we shared a can. Rooster cast his shadow by that coal oil lounge. I'd cook and wash the dishes, I did my chores. Then Rooster get his fiddle out and I'd dance across the floor. Rooster played the fiddle, could play it all night long. Just a shot of whiskey, he'd play your favorite song. Yellow Rose of Texas, Turkey and the Straw. When it came to fiddle tunes, Rooster knew them all. I use them every day. When it comes to work, when it comes to play. All about living like you're born to live. Never taking more than you give.
Well, it was 5 years ago, best that I recall. Bramer Bull hit his horse and Rooster took a fall.
That big colt rolled on him, they say it hurt his brain. Rooster, he woke up, but he never was the same. Rooster played the fiddle, could play it all night long. Just a shot of whiskey, could play your favorite song. Yellow Rose of Texas, Turkey in the Straw. When it came to fiddle tunes, Rooster knew them all. Orange Blossom Special, Wabash Cannonball. When it came to fiddle tunes, Rooster played them.
From the album Once I Was a Cowboy, that's Rooster, that's Joel White. And matter of fact, Joel, this weekend in Nashville at Belmont University, they have the Grand Masters Fiddling Championship. And so that will be taking place for a couple of days. And Mark O'Connor is going to be there with his wife Maggie and Mike Snyder, another great fiddler. So going to be a big time here in Nashville, Tennessee. Bobby, Leah Sawyer won reserve in that last year.
I remember.
And so she will be back competing again this year. And Kathy just sent me a message the other day, said she'd be in town for that. So.
Oh, great.
Texas making a stamp right here in Nashville again with a Grandmasters Fiddling Championship. So anyway, that's coming up. Alan Chapman is one of the neatest guys and a good friend. And how did you and Alan connect? I guess at Swarfa? Was that where you first met?
It was. It was at Swarfa. I first met Alan there. And, you know, Alan, he's a West Texas boy. He was born and raised and grew up in this country. And so right off, we had a lot in common. And I guess Alan kind of took notice of me. And before we left, he said, "Would you want to co-write?" Well, you know, that's yes, absolutely. with a man his stature, and he said, "Well, I'm going to send you something." I said, "Great." And I don't usually do a lot of co-writing. I don't usually play well with others. And so I don't do a lot of co-writing. but Alan said, I'm going to send you something. See what you can do with it. And about a week later, I got this very long poem called Last of the Four Sixes Cowboys. And I read it. And, you know, if I put it straight to music, it would have been about 20 minutes. you know, which just not going to work for radio play.
That's right.
But also, it the rhyme and the meter didn't fit what I felt like I could work with. So I worked with it, and I said, "Well, Alan, you know, how deep you want me to dive into this thing?" And he said he wrote me back and said, "You do whatever you do, and I'll be good." And so I condensed it and I put it to music, and it took me 2 months. I was very intimidated because to be asked to co-write with a man of this stature, you know, was just beyond what I would dream of. And so it took me 2 months, and I presented it to him at the IWMA about 2 months later. And I played it, and he turned his back to me, and I thought, oh, shoot. What did I screw up this poem? and he turns around, and he wipes a tear from his eye, and he said, I think you got it.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Boy, that was all the vindication I needed.
Oh. Wow. Well, Alan is a great writer himself and a super cool guy. Spent 17 years here in Nashville writing. And that was quite a compliment. This is a great song. Let's take a listen to Last of the Four Sixes Cowboys, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Early morning cafe takes his coffee black. Waitress brings him eggs and ham with toast, burn it brown. A gust of wind come blowing, he pulls down his hat, checks his trailer pony, and eases out of town. Last of the Sixes Cowboys, 100 years too late. Sure enough, cowboy legend, just staring down his fate. Once he loved a lady, blue eyes and golden hair. She got tired of waiting on him and moved back east somewhere. He thanks the Lord for day work, keeps him and his ponies fed. Foreman knows he should let him go, but keeps him on his stead. In his dreams he's a young man with a million miles to ride. His horse is fast, lips are true, skies are open wide. Last of the Sixes Cowboys, 100 years too late. Sure enough, cowboy legend, just staring down his fate. When work's done and tidy, as the sun goes down, loads his pony Chico and heads back into town. His shack feels cold and lonely, fires that old wood stove, bologna, beans and bourbon, the best meal that he knows. Last of the Sixes Cowboys, 100 years too late. Sure enough, cowboy legend, just staring down his fate.
last of the sixes, cowboys, another place in time. Living the life he wanted and falling far behind.
Last of the 4-6s Cowboys, that's Joel White, a co-write with our good friend Mr. Alan Chapman. And so, Joel, you think you'll do any more co-writing after that?
Well, I certainly will. I certainly will. And I'm learning. I'm learning to co-write. What was great about this is, you know, he did his part and then I did my part, and that works out well for me, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because Mary Kay, my wife, is primarily written by herself. She's done a few co-writes. But since she's been here in Nashville, she's really enjoying the co-writing process. And I talked with somebody the other day, a writer, and he said he loves to co-write. And really, his ideal number of people to write with at one time is like 3. Because you can kind of pass ideas around, you know. When you get over that, it gets to be a little bit confusing. But, yeah, he likes to write with 3 people. So, anyway. So, people around the world that are listening today are going to want to know where they can get your music. And so we have played music from where I'm from and once I was a cowboy. But tell folks where they can get your music.
Well, you can go to my website, which is joelawhite.com, and you can order that music. You can get it in CD or you can get downloads. And you can find my music on just most any streaming platform that there is. Google Joel White or Joel A. White, and you should be able to find it. On YouTube, I'm late to the party, Joel White. Late to the party is my publishing company because I came late to the party.
Oh, gosh. All right, so you should be able to do that. But anyway, and, you know, it's really cool because I think you really enjoyed the Western Music Convention last year, didn't you? You got to meet a lot of cool people.
Well, I really did, and you know, after, of course, Jim Jones and Alan invited me and another friend of mine, Randy Palmer, to come out, and we came out, and I was encouraged to start doing some Western music, and I never thought of myself as a Western music artist, but you know, I was so well accepted and so well received out there, and so. That's where Once I Was a Cowboy came from. I got home and I called Merle Briganti and I said, Merle, I got to do an album and I need to get it out before next year.
There you go.
And so we did this 6 song EP. I had a few of these songs already. A couple of them I wrote specifically for that EP, and one is the title song and one is Ballad for Blue. And actually I wrote those at Merle's or I had started some of them and finished them at Merle's and set in the next morning and recorded them.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, it's amazing how people can do something like that. You know, it's like, oh, I need one more song. And so they'll write a song while they're at the studio or getting ready to be in the studio the next day. And then that becomes the number one song for them. So that's kind of an interesting thing.
Well, you know what? If I would have been a really good songwriter, I probably would have written 4 more songs. So I'd have had a full album, but I just didn't have that many in me. And I was wanting to be pretty particular about what I put on this EP. I wanted it to be some of the best work I'd wanted it to be the best work up to date. And I don't know. I think I'm proud of it. I hope I achieved that. I think I might have.
Well, it's a cool album, and we're going to look forward to the next one. So you'll have to, I'm sure you're already working on some things on that. So we look forward to having you back.
Excellent.
Yeah, I look forward to having you back and sharing some more music with us. Joel White, thank you so much. I'm going to close out this segment of the show with another one called That's Life. And Joel, thanks for being with us today. We look forward to having you back with us.
We'll see you in Albuquerque.
Thank you so much, Gary and Bobby. It's a pleasure.
All right.
See you next month.
See you in a few months. See you in a few months. Here
all
we go.
Right.
That's Life.
About what he lost. Friend comes in without a word, riding on the news he heard. She just up and left, he cried. I can't tell you how hard I tried. Friend smiles and then nods. Well, hell, at least she left your dog. That's life, it tries to get you down. An old friend come around, pick you up, share the love, walk with you down crooked roads. Good friend, that's life. Phone rings, she answers the call. The doctor said they got it all. She takes a deep breath and she sighs. Well, all that matters is you're alive. Well, sister, it's a brand new world. But remember, you're that same old girl. Forget your loss, forget your pain. Think about what you gain. That's life, it tries to get you down. An old friend come around, pick you up, share the love, walk with you down crooked roads. Good friend.
For Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. When we come back, we'll be visiting with Nashville's Angel Heart Farm.
Once upon a horse, a story started when a little girl could not be parted from her toy horse that daddy bought for his fifth birthday. Forget the dresses and Barbie dolls, she'd spend her days in Grandpa's barn in her coveralls, knee deep in mud and covered in hay. She did find peace of mind in that dusty barn, 'cause she knew her dreams would come true if she really wanted to. So once upon a horse, that girl decided to save her money, find a horse and buy it. Didn't matter at all, she was only 10 years old. secret to all good fairy tales is hard work when all else fails. You could have seen her smile for a mile when that horse was sold. She did find peace of mind in the smell of that mane, and she knew her dreams would come true with her new best friend. Once upon a horse, that girl grew older, riding farther away, becoming beautiful and bolder, winning buckles and crowns and ribbons for all to see. And just like in the story of Cinderella, she went to the ball and met a handsome fella, took her from her mountain home to his kingdom by sea. She did find peace of mind in her new home, 'cause she knew her dreams would come true if her horse could come too. So once upon a horse, the story goes, in a kingdom by the sea where the honeysuckle grows, there's a little brick house on 5 acres of land. And out in back where the grass grows tall, there's a pasture and barn and a couple of stalls. And she's happy ever after, riding whenever she can. 'Cause she does find peace of mind on the back of that horse, and she knew her dreams would come true. Oh yes they do. Once upon a horse, once upon a horse.
Mary Kay Once Upon a Horse. Well, welcome back to Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining me is our co-host, Miss Bobby Bell, and we are going to welcome Miss Tracy Cuiava, who is the founder and the executive director of Angel Heart Farm right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for having me. And Miss Bobby. Hello, hello.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Sure thing.
So September is a big month. It is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And Angel Heart Farm works with children with cancer and their families. So tell us a little bit about Angel Heart Farm, Tracy.
Sure. 23 years ago, October 1st, we opened our barn doors, and we're actually the only program of its kind in the Southeast that provides equine therapy for children and their families. 99% of our kids are cancer patients. We have a couple with cystic fibrosis or a heart transplant or liver transplant, but I would say 99.9 of them are cancer patients. And we're totally different than any other program, I should say. And this month is big for us. Like you said, it's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And most people don't think of the gold ribbon. They think of the pink ribbon. And I'm a survivor of breast cancer, so I'm grateful for that pink ribbon in October. But the gold ribbon is vitally important to us for awareness, and because kids are our future, and we need to have them around for a long, long time. So, yeah, that's what we do.
Well, I tell you, I have posted a picture of a beautiful young lady with a horse promoting the show, and of course she has
Savannah.
she's Yeah, and Savannah's, you know, she's gone through treatments and she's lost her hair. But tell us about some of the kids and their families and what kind of an effect working with equine therapy at Angel Heart Farm has had on these children.
Sure. I will tell you, we did lose Savannah to rhabdomyosarcoma. She battled three times, and that was her favorite horse, Felix, which is an Arabian. And when she first started riding with me, she rode Rocky, our little red-roan Welsh pony, and then she grew up so fast she started riding Felix, and she is missed every day. But we know that she's here with us at the farm. But this past year, we've had just a multitude of children being diagnosed with brain cancer, which we're not really sure why there's such an upstroke of it, but there is. I'm happy to say all of them that we're working with right now are kicking its butt really quickly really well. And some of our kids, I don't know if I've told you this in the past, but some of our kids compete in horse shows. And two of them, Lane and Atticus, will be showing in October at a Ride for the Gold show. It's a big benefit show for us. It's called the Boo Bash. And it's kind of a unique kind of show that people can be dressed up in costume. They don't have to wear their fancy show clothes. They can wear their fun costumes, even though they're being judged by a national judge. So they'll be kind of fun. And this is actually Atticus's second show. His first show was in May, and he won all of his classes, his first time ever in the show ring. We were super proud of him. A little backstory on him. I'm 9 years old, diagnosed with medulloma, blastoma, which is a brain cancer. He first came to me, and he was off balance. He just had his tumor taken out, and multiple rounds of chemo and radiation, and he first started riding a gray horse named Felix that Savannah actually rode, and he had a little nervous of height, and so we dropped him down to a pony named Katarina, and those two have been inseparable. When he first started riding with me, he'd kind of weeble wobble a little bit, and I don't lead my kids around. They have to be full-fledged riders. Them do everything. Their parents know that. Like the first thing, I had a four-year-old ride today, and this is her third lesson, and her mom's like, "You're not going to lead her?" And I'm like, "She's got two hands. She can ride." So my parents sometimes freak out when I do that, but it's like, you know, these little kids are babied so much, and of course, they should be, but they also need to step up. And I'm like, if you can beat cancer, girl or boy, you can definitely ride a pony. So Atticus started riding, doing his weekly lessons, and our program is completely free. There's no charges or anything. That's why this month is so important for awareness for our program and for childhood cancer research. And Atticus has just blossomed into this amazing young rider. I will say the first 10 lessons he rode with me, I think his mama was dragging him to the barn. But now he is, I mean, the progression of this child, you know, from riding hunt seat, which is posting in the saddle correctly. He's not bouncing all over the place. He's got a handle on everything. He's just, I mean, I look at him and I just cry half the time because he's such a talented little rider. And his first show was in May, and he was really, really nervous. And I'm like, just go in there and win it. And much to my chagrin, he did. I couldn't believe he was riding against all these kids that have been riding forever. And he just went in and won it. So I was like, oh, my God. And so then he kind of got hit by the horse show bug. Now he absolutely loves it.
I want to jump in just real quick. Your website is fabulous. And while you're talking about, Katarina, right, was the name of the horse?
Mm-hmm.
Katarina. So I'm looking at that horse's picture right now with the description, and that part of the website. The website's so wonderful and so thorough and so helpful. But I always enjoy looking at the horses and such, and you've even got a border collie. What a cutie.
We do.
Really,
she's probably
going
to bark in a minute, so I'm just going to apologize.
Oh. It's so fun to
I'm on the phone, like a two-year-old.
Yeah, that to meet the horses, you know, that you're talking about as well, of course, as these young riders. So I'm just curious if you can tell us what makes a pony a Welsh pony? What is its background?
Oh, that's a breed. Welsh is a breed of pony.
Okay.
Like we have Arabians, and that's a breed of a horse. The Welsh pony was originated in Wales, and they actually have a lot of Arabian in them from way, way back. The Arabian is actually the first light breed horse that every breed of horse pretty much has except a draft. Like Arabians were, you know, the catalyst for the thoroughbred, the quarter horse, the Tennessee Walker, everything. They all have every – if somebody says they don't like an Arabian, then I'm like, well, they made your horse. So we were actually at Keeneland Racetrack about 3 or 4 years ago, and they had a – they were racing a special race with the racing Arabians, and all these, like, thoroughbred racehorse guys were all giggling and talking about the little tiny Arabians, and I looked over at one of the guys, and I'm like – you know, my pretty little Arabian made your horse, so I would be quiet if I were you. And he's like, what? He didn't even know the history. I sat there with a 5-minute history lesson about how the Arabian was, you know, started his horse, you know?
Yeah. Well, and this particular horse was also named Welsh Pony of the Year in 2017, which has to be quite an honor.
She's pretty sassy. She's a multitude of ribbons and championships, and we were lucky enough to buy her when she was 5 years old, and she's been – my horseshoe was actually here today, and I get kind of choked up about it because he just adores her, and he goes, this pony is worth her weight in gold. She goes, she's golden, and then he got to meet one of our little riders, Adeline, that rode today, and she's battling uncurable brain cancer, and she was like, this is my pony Cat, and like she's only 4, and she was so, you know, she was so excited to ride this pony, you know, and so she told them all about Katarina, you know.
Oh my god,
pretty special.
Oh my gosh.
Cat won actually a national championship with one of our little riders that has since now in heaven, but Sophie rode Cat in Tulsa, Oklahoma to a national championship against all these other healthy kids, and she rocked it out.
Yeah.
We're super proud of our babies. Yeah.
Wow.
And then
our
other little guy I want to share with you about is Lane. He is 10 years old, and he actually had the same type of brain cancer that Atticus had. And I just had to tell you how he rides Felix as well. It's kind of weird that I'm talking about these two little boys. But the first time Lane came out, he had just had his tumor taken out, the size of a fist. And his doctor didn't want him to ride yet. He just wanted to come out to the farm and kind of see what was going on and, you know, see if he even wanted to do anything like this. And he had to go back to do his proton therapy. So it was kind of intermittent, kind of what going to be intermittent riding lessons for a little bit, and came out, and I said, okay, here's the deal. You can pick out any horse or pony you want to ride. So he's a little taller, so he went out in horse pasture, and Felix, all my horses, I think Gary's been out to my farm. He knows, like, how my horses are. They're, like, all over everybody. They, like, have – they're very social. Like, they have no boundaries, and I know that. Like, I'm sure some natural horsemanship person would be all over me, but that's okay. So So Felix walked right up to Lane and put his head on his shoulder and would not leave him. And the other horses started coming up, and Felix just pinned his ears at the other horses, which he never does. And he's like the sweetest horse ever.
This is
mine. He's basically saying, this is my kid. This is my kid. You stay away from him. And it was pretty much love at first sight. And it was pretty spectacular. So, yeah. Okay, I'm just going to apologize now. The dog is barking, as you can hear.
Well, I am going to – hey, I had to do this earlier when mine were barking, so I'm going to take a break and do a song for Marianne Kennedy called Who Saved
Who.
Cool,
I love Marianne. Awesome.
And we will be back and talk more with Tracy in just a moment. You're listening to Saddle Up America.
looking for someone to call your own. Then right before your eyes, an open heart wants to be your home. Unwanted, unneeded, now there is love. Who saved who? To the world it looks like I saved you. Who saved who? We both know the truth. Who saved who? How your fate can change in just one day. No matter who you are, life is better when you share the way. I ask you, who rescued, who needed more?
Tracy at Angel Heart Farm in Nashville, Tennessee. Tracy, tell folks where your farm is actually located. That's in College Grove, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in College Grove. It's like 30 minutes right outside of Nashville, in an area called Bethesda. It's like the best little area in the whole state of Tennessee, at least we think so. It's really pretty. We're very lucky to be here.
Oh, gosh. I tell you what, everywhere in Nashville and the surrounding area in Williamson County, Davidson County, Rutherford, it's, the growth is just unbelievable everywhere. So to have a beautiful spot where you are is kind of special, you know?
You know, it really is. Like, we're lucky on our – we're on this tiny little road. Nobody knows we're here. The only time that's hard is when in the dead of winter when they don't – do our road with salt, but other than that, it's okay. But everything around us, I mean, like 2 miles away, they're building a subdivision. We're all like, oh, God, go away. But, you know,
yeah,
I guess
it's
progress. It's
crazy. Well, that's what they call it.
But we still love where we're at, so we're going to stay here.
That's what they call it. Yeah. Well, the song we just did was Who Saved Who by Marianne Kennedy. And horses have a magical power to help heal people. and help them through difficult situations. And so I know that through Angel Heart Farm's work with these children that are going through illnesses and particularly cancer, it's making a difference in their lives. But talk to us just a little bit about the difference it makes in the lives of their families that are there and the families that are having to deal with their children that are going through these life-threatening illnesses.
You know, today was one of those moments that it kind of hit home. We have a little one, and her grandma got to come see her ride for the first time. And she was riding Cat, and she's only four. And, you know, when you're four, I mean, you're 4 years old. You know what I mean?
It's like right.
You're, you know, you have a lot going on in your little life, you know. And this one's been through the ringer, and her mama came, and her two little sisters, she's got a year-old sister and a two-and-a-half-year-old sister, and then her and her grandma and her mom, and then with Katarina. So we had a lot of girl power in the barn today. And to see, I mean, just to watch her mom, like from the first time this little one came out that was so scared, that was didn't even want to touch Katarina, to now, and see like she's riding independently and she's steering her pony all over the place. Today we went over a jump. You know, it was like a really big deal. And her mom was just like, I think her mom, it was one of those moments that, you know, my child's a regular kid. She's not defined by cancer. And her grandma was the same way. She goes, you know, we know that this prognosis is really not great, but this is just bringing so much joy to her just to see her smile. And, you know, it's that place that where we hope we're that place that they could just go and not think about cancer. It's like we always say the cancer stays down the road. It doesn't come through the barn. So it was just really lovely to see their little sisters, excuse me, like her middle sister rode today and just her giggling. And, you know, because when you have three little girls, you get stuck going to the hospital with your big sister. You don't really have a choice sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they witnessed a lot of things that a little-year-old, two-and-a-half-year-old should witness, you know. But coming here, they're very joyful. And then they got to meet my horseshoer today, Tommy. And, you know, he was really hamming it up for them and each gave him a horseshoe. And they all thought that was, you know, pretty cool. But I think, you know, having a sense of community at our farm with these families is really important. We host a mom's night. We just had one a couple weeks ago. We did a Friday night and a Saturday night and then a Sunday brunch. And, you know, we kind of do separate groups that we call the A, B, and C group because we try to put moms together that we know not only will get along and, you know, have a lot of camaraderie together and maybe the same diagnosis that their child has. So they actually they can compare notes a lot. And we just had a big night with that. And then we, you know, sometimes we'll do a yoga night for the moms. And, you know, we'll do like a art night, we'll do music night, we'll just do different kinds of things. And really, we're really blessed. As you know, in Nashville, we've got a cornucopia of music people. So
they
help us out with the music therapy. And then we also do some art therapy with the moms. And, you know, our dads, I will say we've only had a couple times out here at the farm. They much rather go to a Predators hockey game. So, you know, we do stuff like that for them. Like we'll get them tickets for the hockey game and they all go hang out together and, you know, cause they're not going to talk about their child's illness to another dad, you know? So they'd rather go play top golf and, you know, have a moment away from their kids and the normal life that, you know, the hectic life they're in. And so we try to do as much for the parents as we possibly can. And then that Sunday we had our bereavement group and it's a really emotional group, but you know, sometimes they laugh, sometimes they cry, sometimes they swear, sometimes, you know, it's kind of all over the board.
Right.
This last one we had was really quite lovely, and I could just see that a lot of moms helped each other. The new mom that just lost their child, you know, helped them through some stuff, and so it's really, it is a journey, you know. It's like we're very lucky. It's like a lot of our kids do great and grow up in healthy little young adults, and one of our girls that I used to teach several years ago, she is actually in vet school now at UT, so I'm, like, beyond proud of that.
Like,
right.
I've really been doing this a long time.
You have been. You started when you were, what, 5 years old or something, I think. You said 23 years? Yeah, 3.5 Okay, all right. Uh-huh.
I want to get back to the website again, because we do have listeners all over the world, and many of them may be very interested in figuring out ways they can support from a distance. And you have a section called Get Involved. It's really wonderful. And I wondered if you might like to talk about maybe the sponsoring a child or equine sponsorship or the Amazon wish list. Do you want to just take a moment and talk about some ways those of us at a distance can participate?
Absolutely. So, like I said earlier, our program is completely free. There's no services or any, there's no fees for anything that we do. But we want to make sure our kids have their own riding helmet and their own pair of boots. So we've been working, with Dan Post Boot Company since I started the program. And they are unbelievable. They donate all of our children's boots to our kids. So they take care of the boot end of it. And then we make sure that we have a top-of-the-line riding helmet for our kids. We don't buy the $29.99 ones. We buy the $100 helmets. So to sponsor a child is $150. We want to make sure they're always safe and sound. And so to sponsor a child is $150, and they get their helmet, their boots, and an awesome swag bag, a stuffed pony, usually some books about horses. So they know that. And then we also will send them little – we FaceTime our kids all the time with their ponies when they're in the hospital. And then horse sponsorship, we have 11 to choose from. Can't believe we have 11, but we do.
Wow.
And they're all spectacular. I mean, we think they're all pretty spectacular. A couple are already sponsored. They have a lifetime sponsorship. So that means we have really 9 that can be choose from, and that's $1,500 a year. And – just kind of really offsets the cost of having a horse every, you know, a year. I mean,
doesn't even touch the cost of a horse a year.
How much it's not even, $1,500 is not a lot of money. And when it comes to being a horse person, we just had a $1,500 bill, a vet bill last week. So, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. But, you know, so that, and you have a plaque on the stall for the year who sponsored that horse. And, you know, we send updates, obviously, with the kids and if the parents say it's okay, and the horses, and they can kind of choose, you know, what horse they want to sponsor, what child they want to sponsor. We have 3 new children that are going to be starting with us in the next 3 weeks. So a sponsorship for them would be amazing. And then we're in the middle right now of our capital campaign, which is a big deal. We're raising $1.2 million to pay off our farm. So it'll be 100% ours, which is really important.
Wow.
We can always not have to worry about a mortgage each month, that we can put the money towards more programs for our foundation. We implemented a reading program at our farm. So many of our kids are not in school. They're doing homebound. They're doing online school. So they're missing out of speaking out loud. So our kids have to read a story or a book or a chapter to their horse or pony before they actually ride. So they speak out loud, and it does really improve their reading skills, which all of our homebound teachers are very grateful for. And then our Amazon wish list, it's all over the board. I mean, you know, from, I'm even not sure it's on it. I can't tell you what's on it right now, but like a bucket or
I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it right now. So there's from Orville Redenbacher, a variety of things, to big screen projectors, to Onida silverware, you know, to Briar, the Hope Briar horse. That's the first thing that comes up. All kinds of things that you just need, paper towels, and, you know, all kinds of basics that we wouldn't necessarily think about that you have
to have. Several times we host our families at our farm. We actually have a mom and dad's room and a children's room. So our families that come from out of state for treatment, they can stay here if they want to. We've had families here for a whole week. So that's where like the silverware and the towels and all that stuff probably comes in. But yeah, we feed them when they're here, and you know, the biggest thing the kids love is to wake up in the morning and before they go to treatment and go see their horse or pony, and it kind of gives them, you know, a little ump to get going, you know.
Sure.
But
sure. And another thing that was fun is you have a link to Misty Mints.
Oh, my goodness. So we are really lucky. I will tell you, we are so lucky with the people that help us. I met Carolyn randomly. I was looking online for some really cute horse treats for our ponies. And hers, bar none, were the cutest things I've ever seen, and probably, like, the most least nutritional ever. But who cares? They're really cute. And, you know, great flavors, great packaging. They were just so cute. So I called her, and, I mean, we are really good friends now. So she sponsored one of our horse shows for us last in May and sent boxes of treats for the kids, for all the for the swag bags. And, oh, yeah, our horses love Misty Mints. They're really cute. And, I mean, if you have a horse that's metabolic, you probably don't want to give it to them. But the nice thing is the kids actually like those, too. I mean, it's just pure sugar is all it is. So, you know, they like – and the shapes are cute. They're heart-shaped or stars.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, our ponies love them. So
there's peppermint and sweet apple and showtime.
Oh, yeah.
And crazy, yes. Crazy for carrots spelled with K's.
Yeah.
And Danny
they're very
Delight.
Cute.
Very fun.
And then we and like we work with Zoetis. They do all of our wormers for us, a lot of our medical stuff for us. They donate it or they do it reduced cost. And like Kelsey's Treats, for instance, I don't know if they're up there yet or not. They're helping us out the whole month of September. They're going to donate money from each sale to the program. And they're the healthy option for the healthy treats at our farm versus the Misty Mints. And it's just pure, it's pretty much pure pumpkin, and our horses love them. So, yeah, we really feel like we've surrounded ourselves with great people. And I wanted to make, when I started the foundation, I knew I wanted a couple things, that I wanted the program to always be free because I know how expensive cancer is. I'm actually a four-time survivor. And I mean, cancer is not a cheap venue. I mean, it's
right.
It can bankrupt you in a heartbeat and then have horses on top of it. So, you know, it's kind of a serious situation. And I knew I wanted to be free, and I wanted to only have Arabians and Welsh ponies because that's what I grew up with. That's what I know. And I thought, my God, if we have these great horses and ponies, our kids can actually compete in horse shows, which they have. And, you know, because people like you and I mean, we were fortunate. We get to show our horses when we want to. And but remember our first ribbon we ever got? I mean, I remember my first ribbon when I was like 3 years old, you know, so the confidence that it gives a child, the, you know, the dream it gives the child, you know, we kind of have reworded a lot of things this past year. Instead of saying our kids are battling cancer, we say our kids are beating cancer, you know,
there you go.
And we don't say hope, we say we know. And it's like, I start thinking of all these different words that, you know, we normally say when it comes to cancer, but I'm like, we have to retrain our brain, you know, to say, I'm beating cancer and I know I'm going to be okay. And that's what I tell my moms and dads all the time. I know he's going to be okay, so let's not worry about it. Let's just ride. And
there you go.
But I always wanted my kids to have the best. And we work with, I mean, I totally brag on everybody who helps us because we're super grateful. And like this past, about a couple months ago, the Extreme Mustang Makeover was here. And oh my God, they invited our families to come. I mean, front row seats, I mean, treated them like royalty. In fact, Lane didn't get to come that night that they actually had the event. He got to go backstage like a couple days before and meet the horses and the trainers, and like given their whole family was given the royal treatment. He still talks about that. And that was like 3 months ago. And so these little, you know, these experiences the kids get to have are a chance in a lifetime, you know, and not every kid gets to ride a horse. you know, not every, and we want to make sure that our kids can ride and they can have the best of everything that we can offer them. So that's why support is so important for us.
I have a couple of questions real quick. Number one, if I have a child with cancer and I wanted to get involved with Angel Heart Farms, how would I do that?
They just call us, and we, that's on our website, angelheartfarm.com.
Okay.
There's a participant form on there. And then we always meet with the doctor prior so we know what medications they're on, because sad but true, I mean, I know every drug that's out there, and I know what the, what causes what. I mean, sometimes kids will get really tired. Sometimes they're nauseous. Sometimes, you know, they get neuropathy. So we want to know what medications they're on, where they're at in their treatment plan, and just make sure that the program's going to be a great fit for them. And they just fill out a form and call us, and then we match them up with a horse or pony. Normally we let them pick out whoever they want to ride. I don't ever say you're riding this one or you're riding that one. They can pick their own. So, yeah,
okay.
That's how we started out.
So do you ever utilize volunteers in your program?
Absolutely. In fact, today I have one that's weed eating for me because I can't. The weed eater's too heavy for me, so he's weeding along the fence lines. we've got we have a beautiful angel garden that one of our really dear friends created for us, and she's beating cancer herself right now, and so the garden's really important to her. And
yeah,
it's just gorgeous. So we've got two master gardeners who volunteer with us, and you know, our volunteers that help with the horses. And like Sunday, I have two that they are here religiously. They want to bathe the ponies because I try to take Sundays off sometimes if I can from lessons, and they just, you know, want to take care of the ponies, so that's what they do. But it's kind of
all
the gamut, right. You know, there's lots to do at a farm, as you know.
I do. So if you have a child that's beating cancer or wants help in beating cancer, reach out to Angel Heart Farm. If you'd like to volunteer and you're anywhere in the Middle Tennessee, Davidson County, Williamson County area, go to the website, and I'm sure they would love to have volunteers. And if you would like to donate, go to the website and donate there. And what is the website?
It's angelheartfarm.com.
Angelheartfarm.com. That is so easy.
Super simple. We made it simple.
Super simple.
I will tell you, which is really, I want to tell you, like, we've actually had a college. I graduated from Michigan State, and we've actually had some colleges come down here, like, for 2 weeks or their spring break and volunteer. So even if it's, like, you know, an equine college, if there's a couple girls, guys that want to get some more equine experience or something in therapy, I mean, we're wide open for that too. And they've actually stayed with us. So that's what we do.
That's what they do. And you can come and meet Tracy, and she is a special, special young lady. And Tracy, thank you for everything that you're doing.
Oh my gosh, thanks
for
having
young
me.
People. Well, what you're doing with Angel Heart Farm is so special, and we appreciate you and all that you're doing, and we appreciate you being with us today to share more about it. And during September, remember, it's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. Are there any ways to donate that have any doubling or anything that goes on? I know that there's some.
We're working on, actually, it's interesting you said that, we're working on a matching grant right now. We work a lot with Tractor Supply Foundation, and they've been very supportive of our farm. So we're working on a couple things. So matching grants are always a good thing. If you work for a company, a lot of companies out there, they'll have like a matching grant program. So if you donate $100, their company will donate an extra $100. So there's lots of different, a lot of times companies just will, you know, they may not you may not know that even when you work for somebody, but it's always a nice thing to ask if they've got to give that program or something.
Always a check.
Always a good check.
All right. Well, look forward to seeing you in the very near future. And again, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for sharing this information.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye.
And we're going to listen to Kristen Harris and Wildfire. We'll be right back with Bobby Bell on Saddle Up America. Bobby Bell. Kristen is coming to Nashville in October. She's been nominated for a Josie Award.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So look forward to seeing her in Nashville in October. But what a good show today. So great to have Joel with us for his very first time and get to visit with him just a little bit. And then Tracy and the work that she's doing with Angel Heart Farm, there was a time or two where I had tears when she was talking about that young lady that they had lost. But such great work she's doing. So we're going to encourage people to visit her website. And if you can donate, or if you'd like to be a volunteer, or if you're out there listening and you have a child that's going through an illness such as cancer, then reach out to Angel Heart Farm and get involved with that. Well, this is your last show on Saddle Up America.
Well, that's true. What a lovely last show to have, to be with her and talking about the great work that they do there. Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, I think it's been about, I was trying to figure it out, maybe six years
on Saddle Up America.
Okay.
Yeah. So, man, what am I going to do? I'll have to figure that one out.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Well,
I'm still with you on Campfire.
Well, you are, and it's been cool to try to see if we could get you into something besides a briar horse, but you know, that hadn't happened yet, but maybe so. Well, tell us what's happening with Out West right quick. And with Rendezvous with a Writer.
Rendezvous with a Writer tonight, we're talking with a Minnesota-based author, very fun, humorous, a cozy mystery writer. Her name is Jean Cooney. And the name of the book is It's Murder, Don't You Know? Very fun. Jim has been reading whole passages aloud to me, and then we'll both just start laughing hysterically. Very fun. Very fun mystery. Part of a series, and geez, you can watch that live tonight, 6 o'clock Pacific time. Just go to LA Talk Radio's Facebook page, and then of course it becomes immediately available afterwards, just as this show does, with both podcast audio or video, anytime, day or night, at your leisure, within, like, you know, 2 minutes of the show ending.
Next
Thursday, the first Thursday in September, interestingly, we are going to have cowboy poet Daryl Arnold and Tom Hyatt with us. Tom has just released a new 5-song CD, and they're all based on Daryl's poems. And Daryl has written Gene Prescott and just lots of other songwriters. And for many years, he published his own magazine that was called Cowboy Magazine. And I'm really looking forward to meeting Daryl, and then have those two gentlemen talk about the poetry songwriting process. And that's next Thursday, September 7th.
All right.
Next Thursday, Gary, is already 7 days into September.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? This year is just kind of flying by. It's flown by. And we were talking earlier, it was so cool this morning that you can feel fall in the air. And I had mentioned that I even have seen some leaves that are starting to fall. It's like, where is all this going? What's happening? It's just flying by. Hey, I want to encourage folks to tune in on Saturday for Live from Nashville, when our guest will be the lovely Miss Carolyn Martin, and she'll be joining us, and we may have a surprise guest for you as well. But that's taking place at noon Central Standard Time on Saturday for Live from Nashville. And then, as always, we encourage you to join us for the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America starting at noon on Thursdays. And we'll be back then. Remember, you can listen to all of our shows on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other streaming platforms today. So just look for Equestrian Legacy Radio, and you'll find us out there as well. And you can ask Alexis. That was hard to say, Ask Alexis. But Ask Alexis for Equestrian Legacy Radio, and that will bring us up on iHeartRadio as well. So many, many ways to listen to these shows, as well as our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Well, Bobby, we're going to close out the show today with a song from our good friend, Miss Junie Fisher. And, you know, it's been all about horses and who saved who and dreaming about Once Upon a Horse. And this one is called A Pony Called Love. And we'll take a listen to that and see you all next Thursday on the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America.
On the second jump out with a suck back twist and a squeal and a shout, it's a long swim back, no hope or applause through the riptides and currents and a frenzy of jaws. She's a heartbreaker, that pony called love. The last drops rung from a valentine. My blood must taste bitter on the tip of her tongue. No high moral ground and no place to hide from the battle of tarantulas deep down inside. She's a heartbreaker, that pony called love. I've been hung up, stepped on, and kicked in the heart. Yeah, she's a bad one come apart. That pony called my soul in a cast, not a highway of life that don't lead to the past. As I sip from the gold cup of bottomless pain, I see demons in the headlights, but could they be? She's a heartbreaker, that pony called love. Oh, she's a soul taker, that pony.
call.